Ireland, Norway, and Spain, they're recognizing the state of Palestine, and there are a lot of repercussions out there on the part of Israelis. How do you find these new changes that are happening, considering what's going on in Gaza? Are we headed toward a new era of recognizing Palestine as state?
Well, I think there are more countries lined up to follow the example of Ireland, Norway, and Spain. And in a way, this is a natural and entirely predictable reaction to Israeli defiance of international opinion. The Israelis have made it very clear, despite what some in the United States are saying, that they have absolutely no intention of ever permitting self-determination for the Palestinians. And yet, without that self-determination, Israel cannot enjoy security, and the Middle East as a whole will continue to be in a state of chaos. And so the world would like to see a two-state solution. And I think the Irish, the Norwegians, the Spanish are the latest to realize that the best way to promote that is to signal their recognition of Palestine's right to self-determination, which is what they have done.
Do you think that's gonna influence the decision on the part of the UN Security Council? How this would affect that decision?
Well, the UN Security Council is paralyzed by the United States veto to protect Israel. It therefore will not enforce the findings of the International Criminal Court or the International Court of Justice, whatever they may be, in the end. And I think there's rising frustration around the world with this situation, and a determination by some now, openly expressed, to turn their attention from helping to the Palestinians by recognizing a state of Palestine toward punishing the Israelis. The General Assembly is now quietly discussing, I believe, the possibility of suspending Israeli participation in the UN on the grounds that it is a persistent violator of international law and in defiance of multiple UN Security Council resolutions. So I think this is a turning point. How far it will go will depend in large measure on whether Israel continues on the self-destructive course that it has adopted.
We know that in the aftermath of October 7th, the Netanyahu administration was telling that they're gonna remove Hamas. They're gonna destroy Hamas. And they did everything in Gaza. They pushed the people from the northern part to the southern part. Right now they wanna attack. But it seems everything is backfiring on them and they have achieved nothing. When you look at this, in your opinion, do you agree that the outcome of all these events since October 7th was not in the benefit of Israel?
Well, I absolutely do agree with that. I'd make a couple of comments. First, the Israeli intelligence failure is a classic example of intelligence failures. They normally occur not because there is no information to predict what is going to happen, because usually there is, but because people who to whom the information is directed, policymakers, disbelieve the information. They don't want to accept it because it contradicts the preconceived notions they have. And that is what happened on October 7th. There was plenty of warning from lower levels of the Israeli intelligence apparatus, and the higher levels had convinced themselves that Gaza was quiescent, Hamas was on the payroll, and the Palestinians did not need to be taken seriously. And therefore, they paid no attention to the signals that their lower level operatives were giving them. So that's the first point. The second point is, I don't believe at all that the Israelis wanted this attack, but they have taken full advantage of it to do what they always intended, which is to try to depopulate Palestine and resettle areas that they managed to remove the people from. So they have done this in a particularly brutal and highly objectionable fashion, which is justifiably called genocide. And in doing that, they have aroused the world against them. And we're seeing now the consequences of that. And the third, final point I would make, however, is that the Israelis have inhaled their own propaganda. They have not paid attention to what the world sees because they don't see it themselves. The Israeli media do not portray the suffering of Palestinians in Gaza. They do not portray the pogroms on the West Bank. And therefore, there is a level of a strange mixture of complacency and the rage that goes with a desire for revenge for October 7th. And the Israelis simply do not understand that what they have done in response to October 7th has almost completely erased the international outrage that that attracted at the time. And now the focus is very much on the murderous behavior of Israel. And Israel, in many eyes, has become an abomination on the face of the earth. And I think this is going to be a long-term problem for Israel, that its support internationally, if it has not entirely dried up, is very close to doing so.
Yeah. Right now, how do you see, with these new changes that are happening, how do you see the reaction coming from the Biden administration? Are they going to condemn it? Because we know that Antony Blinken was calling this decision on the part of ICC, International Criminal Court. He said that it's shameful. How do you see the Biden administration and their policy? Are they updating their policy, or are they going to be the same old policy on Israel?
It looks like they'll stay with the same old policy, which at this point simply underscores to the world the utter hypocrisy of the American position. After all, the International Criminal Court issued a warrant for Mr. Putin's arrest, and the United States applauded and saw nothing wrong with that. And now they have issued warrants for the arrest of various Israeli officials and Hamas officials. And the U.S. says nothing about Hamas. We object to the issuance of warrants against Israel. And Mr. Biden says, well, there is absolutely no moral equivalence whatsoever between the Israeli government and Hamas. And the world says, yes, you are right. Hamas is a resistance movement which has been resisting for 70 years absolutely outrageous treatment by Israel and the Israeli settlers. And Israel is a government, an elected tyranny, which tyrannizes and terrorizes the Palestinian population with the objective of expelling them from their homeland. No, there is no equivalence at all. What Hamas did is understandable. What Israel is doing is inexcusable. This is the view of the world. And so when Admiral Kirby, who is remarkably inarticulate on this subject, speaks, people wince, they duck, they cringe, they don't want to hear this. Because it no longer has any credibility, except among the diehard supporters of Israel, to whom Mr. Biden is pandering. These are domestic political factors, and perhaps the president of Argentina. I don't know.
I don't know if you saw Lindsey Graham suggesting dropping nuclear bombs in the Middle East in favor of Israel. And right now he's saying, another rhetoric coming out is on his part, is saying that if we accept this new warrant on Israel, and the next would be the United States. I don't know why he's doing each and every trick in his hand to just help Israel.
Well, he may have a very sincere devotion to Israel. He's never apparently seen a war he didn't want to join. So he's entirely in character. I've always known that there's nobody quite so bloodthirsty as a civilian. The military generally are much more cautious because they know that if they go to war, they might get killed. They understand something about the gamble that war represents. Senator Graham is full of hubris and arrogance and presumption and absolutely no Christian charity. The less we hear from him, the better, I think.
You have a lot of experience in this area of international communication, international relations. Do you see this particular moment for Israel and Palestine? Do you think, are we living a pivotal moment in this conflict in Israel and Palestine? And at the end of the day, are we getting to the point that we can put an end to this conflict?
It's too soon to say that, I think. But is this a pivotal moment? Yes, it is, in the sense that Israel, since its inception, has enjoyed the support and even the admiration of many, including myself as a young man. But what it has become is evil, and it is recognized as such almost everywhere now. So Israel has lost the protection of the Holocaust. It was always able to say, well, there was a Holocaust and therefore the world owes us exemption from the normal rules. But nobody now is prepared to accept that. I think it is losing the support of the United States, not in the short term, but in the longer term, because young people in the United States, Jewish, Christian, Muslim, or whatever, they no longer have any sympathy for Israel. They sympathize with the suffering of the Palestinians. And of course, there are still some supporters of Israel, but they are becoming fewer and fewer. And the young people are the future, not me. You know, I will pass from this world before too long, but these young people will run the world, and they will not be at all supportive of Israel. There are two things that the Israelis have traditionally asserted in relation to my country, the United States. One is that we share values, but nobody shares the values Israel is now exhibiting. The racism, the murderous spirit, the utter inhumanity, the defiance of international decency, international opinion and the rule of law. Nobody can sympathize with that. And therefore, Israel has lost something very, very important, and it will not gain it back easily. So that's one thing. The second thing that the Israelis always claimed, and their supporters, was that Israel was a strategic asset for the United States, that it was doing useful things for the United States. But people can now see that that is not true. What Israel does is get the United States into trouble, embarrass us, destroy our reputation along with its own by its ill behavior, and risk wars. Also, I should say, risk nuclear proliferation, because whereas in the past, nobody in Iran openly spoke about possibly developing a nuclear weapon, there is now quite an active debate in Iran. And Iran has just lost its leader, two of its most important leaders. They were hardline, to be sure. But now the question, lots of questions which were formally settled in Iran are up for discussion and re-examination and decision. And the Israeli behavior provides ample reason for Iran to go nuclear, which it has not done out of religious scruples up to this point. So I think Israel, in a strategic sense, along with the United States, is a major loser from all this.
How do you see the role of Israel in what's going on between Iran and the United States?
Well, let's start by recognizing that the basic problems between Tehran and Washington have to do with memory of outrages in the past. In the Iranian case, the overthrow of Mossadegh and the democratically elected government of Iran and its replacement with the Shah, and the defense of the Shah against widespread opposition, popular opposition. So this is in the Iranian side. There is a deep memory of injustice toward the United States. On the American side, there was the humiliation of the diplomatic hostage crisis, where young Iranians took the American embassy and its officers prisoner and were aided and abetted by the new Khomeini regime. And of course, the Islamic Republic, as I think we will see in this succession process that is now underway, you know, may have a vigorous internal debate on some issues, and they may have factions and personality conflicts within those who aspire to lead the Republic, but the structure itself is pretty sturdy. And I don't expect that the constitutional arrangements that Khomeini put in are going to collapse. So I think, you know, there is this history on both sides. There are misunderstandings, there's ill will, and Israel is able to take advantage of this. When the United States in the first Gulf War, 1990 to 91, basically removed Iraq as a threat to Israel, the Israelis had to find a new enemy to justify the kind of qualitative edge they seek to maintain in weaponry. And they chose Iran. And in 1993, I was treated to a briefing in Israel by a very by an Israeli colonel who did a very conscientious job of explaining why Iran was the mortal enemy of Israel. And I don't think he was convinced of this himself, and he did not convince me of it. I felt sorry for him having to put on this performance, good as it was. And I think the Israelis have justified a great deal of their policies in terms of the Iranian boogeyman. You know, this is a monster out there determined to kill the Jews. Well, of course, there is a flourishing Jewish community still in Iran, and Iranian Jews are patriots, as American Jews are patriots in the United States. They are not loyal to Israel, and they are not in any danger. And so all of this is a classic case of hasbara, or advocacy, as the Hebrew word has it, propagandistic explanation designed to deceive and to mislead. And it has been very successful. So much so that despite the fact that Mossad and the CIA have long agreed Iran does not have an active program of building a nuclear weapon, it's an article of faith in the public that has been subjected to Israeli hasbara that Iran does have such an intention. And now, of course, we confront, as I said earlier, the danger that under pressure and in the context of a of the disorder of a succession in Tehran, somebody in Iran may actually may make the decision to build a bomb, which they have the capability to do, because they have become very close. They have achieved nuclear latency. And the latest report from the IAEA, the International Atomic Energy Agency, suggests that they can produce several bombs a month, at least, with no difficulty. So all that has been lacking is a decision. And now the decision may be in prospect. I hope not. But we have to say, to go back to your original question, There are underlying factors that incline the United States and Iran to be hostile to each other. And Israel has very skillfully taken advantage of these.
Yeah. If we finally get to solve the problem in Palestine, in Israel, how would that change the face of Middle East?
Well, if there is, in fact, a two-state solution, which is, I think, at this point, the only imaginable solution, unfortunately, a far better solution would be a one-state solution with a democracy in Israel rather than apartheid and the democratically elected tyranny of Jews over non-Jews, Christians and Muslims. But that is probably impossible now, given all of the hatred that the events of the last 8 months have brought about. So if there were a two-state solution, Palestine, I would say not, and the Israeli concept having no capacity to defend itself, because a state must have the capacity to defend itself. The Palestinians are just as entitled to self-determination and the right to defend themselves as Israelis are. And if you don't, if you, the only people who don't accept that are people who espouse Jewish supremacy in Palestine. So if we have two equal states, obviously Israel considerably wealthier and more advanced and much better connected internationally under those circumstances, then I think we have a fundamental change in the Middle East, because this problem of settler colonialism in Palestine has been the force that has started how many wars? I can't even begin to talk, count them. It has led to Israeli behavior, which is violent toward all its neighbors. And it's led, when there was an end to the fighting, not a peace, not a real peace, but a truce, a cold peace, one in which both sides smile at each other, but hide a dagger behind their back. This is not peace. You can't have peace, we have learned, without addressing the Palestinian issue. And Israel remains determined not to address it, except in terms of ethnic cleansing. That will not work.
Yeah, if we go after two-state solution, do you think that the UN can provide some sort of security just dividing these two nations, not to, as the same thing we have in Cyprus, North Cyprus and South Cyprus, and we have the presence of UN in the middle. How do you see, do you think that would be a solution if we go to, if we go with two-state solution?
Well, let me remind you that Israel was born as a result of a UN resolution which tried to produce a two-state solution, that is, a partition of Palestine. And Israel refused. Israel nominally accepted that, but then acted to overthrow that reality. So if we go back to partition of Palestine on some basis, perhaps the 1967 borders, which would leave Palestine still, the state of Palestine still at a grave disadvantage, but it would at least end the brutality of the occupation, then I could see an international force of some sort between them. I think the United Nations may not be the vehicle for that. We've seen the United Nations paralyzed periodically by differences between great powers, specifically those in the Security Council who have the veto. I'm not sure that either Israel or Palestine would want to entrust their future to such an uncertain arrangement. But yes, there could be an internationally agreed force between the two sides, some impartial force that would investigate incidents, try to keep them from getting out of control, and protect the two sides, each side from the other. What we can't hope to have as a stable situation is some version of the current reality in which Israel is all powerful and the Palestinians have no capacity at all. And here I would just say one other thing, and that is the notion that somehow or other the international community or Israel or the United States can wish Palestinian nationalism out of existence and impose a government on the Palestinians that they have not selected for themselves, it just won't work. That is why these statements about Hamas has no future in Palestine are nonsense, because Hamas won an election in 2006, and if there were another election, it might very well win that. And you cannot argue for a group of Palestinians to carry on the work of the Palestinian Authority, which has basically been the prison guards for the Palestinians, acting on behalf of the Israelis with U.S. support. That is why the Palestinian Authority, Mahmoud Abbas and company, have no credibility at all among the Palestinians and no ability to take over the role of governing Gaza that the United States appears to favor. There must be a democratic self-determination on the part of the Palestinians, and they, not Washington or Jerusalem or Tel Aviv, will be the ones to decide who governs them.